Next on RadioSt.Pete.com, Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field.
The lawyer you know is back to take another crack at this GameStop fiasco. All right, we are back to talk more GameStop, more Reddit, more Wall Street today on The Lawyer You Know. And we're going to start by giving just a brief explanation and some facts of what's happened up to today. So we had this short squeeze happen, which has caught Wall Street by storm, and it all came from a little website called Reddit. And a lot of people out there might not even know what Reddit is. It's purely just a social media site for organizing and discussing things that you find in common with other people. Reddit says you can find your community here, and you basically just post on message boards. It can be Game of Thrones, it can be the Tampa Bay Bucks, or it can be Wall Street Bets, which in this situation, they talk about stocks. So there's a guy named Keith Gill, and he basically was the guy that was first on this GameStop train. He bought $50,000 of GameStop stock a few years ago when he noticed that all the hedge funds were shorting it. And obviously, Pete, do you think GameStop's gonna just succeed in the future, or do you think they're gonna fail?
I think they're gonna fail.
Because they're like Blockbuster. GameStop is a place where you go and trade in games, you buy game systems, whatever it may be. And a lot of these Reddit people now are trying to say there are legitimate reasons that they went and bought that GameStop stock. But we kind of think the majority of the reason they went and bought it was to screw the Wall Street suits, screw the big rich billionaires on Wall Street. Okay, so this guy, Keith Gill, he knew how to kick these Wall Street suits right where it hurt, right? And that's crazy. And a lot of people are cheering and are really excited because the little guy is going to beat the big guy. And the little guy in this situation are the individual investors who are also pretty rich and not exactly your common man if they know how to buy and sell and do day trading and have enough money to actually affect the market like this. But what happened was Keith figured out that the Wall Street hedge funds, multi-billion dollar hedge funds, were shorting these stocks. And what shorting stocks means is you borrow a stock and you sell it for the money. So let's say you borrow a $10 stock, you sell it for $10. You eventually have to give that stock back to the guy you borrowed it from. So you usually think and you project that that stock's going to go down in value, let's say to $3. Well, you buy it back from this guy when it goes down to $3 and I give it back to Pete now. I just made $7. That's what the billionaires do. The rich get even richer doing things like that and projecting what's going to happen in the market, right? People say it's a little more than just a gambling bet, but it's kind of similar to that because the stock price can also go up. There's nothing guaranteeing it's going to go down unless you have Robinhood on your side, I guess. So the stock actually, in this case, Keith Gill and his Reddit, you know, bros got together and basically were like, let's drive up this price. And that's what they did. So that $10 stock became $30. So now when the hedge fund billionaires have to go give that stock back to the guy they borrowed it from, they've got to now buy it for $30. They get screwed. They lose billions of dollars, right? So that's shorting a stock. And then what Keith Gill and the Reddit bros did was squeezing that short. So they went, bought all of it, drove up the price, so much so that Robinhood and other sites actually stopped allowing individual investors from buying that stock. And Robinhood is actually put in place, and it's free, and they allow just individual investors, and they say they're there for the common man, which is why they're called Robinhood, right? Yeah, steal from the rich, give to the poor, but in this situation, they just purely protect the rich, because without the rich, Robinhood doesn't exist, the stock market doesn't run like it is running today, right? So that kind of brings us up to date. Oh, and Keith Gill, that $50,000, some people say is worth about $20 million now in GameStop stock, which is insane, right? So he bet right. So you may wonder, this hero of Reddit and the hero of the common man, Keith Gill, how did he do it? How did he know exactly where to hit him, where it hurts? Well, it turns out Keith Gill might not just be a common man. And it turns out Keith Gill has a Series 7, a Series 3, and a Series 24 license. And he's a licensed professional that deals in financial planning, that works for some hedge fund himself. And while he's Cheeto Fingers, basement loving, you know, man of the people making videos at night, he's actually a Wall Street suit during the day.
Without the suit at night.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got a different suit at night, right? He's got the cape and the Dark Knight suit at night. But it's kind of crazy to think about this because just like Pete and I can't come on here and tell you to do something that's technically a crime. like refusing to blow after a DUI. We can give you our opinions on it, but we can't tell you to do that because in Florida, that's an additional crime. And as lawyers regulated by the Florida bar who can just take our license, we can't tell you to go commit a crime. Even if we say, think it's the right thing to do or think it's what's best for you, we can't advise people to commit a crime. Well, FINRA, which Pete, can you explain briefly what FINRA is?
FINRA is a, it's kind of like the Florida Bar, actually. It is a nonprofit private organization that regulates securities, broker dealers, and general transactions.
Wall Street stuff.
Right, but the federal government relies on FINRA to self-regulate, if that's the right term to use, people that are in the securities business.
Right, just like a lot of things we don't do are illegal, you're not going to throw us in jail for that as lawyers. The Florida Bar takes an extra step to regulate us to make sure we're ethical, make sure we're responsible, make sure we're not screwing our clients or giving bad advice. FINRA kind of does the same thing. Even if things might not be illegal, FINRA regulates that. And one of the things they regulate is what you say and do on social media. So you can't just be a guy that ties a ribbon around your head and has Cheeto fingers and looks like a, you know, bozo basically throwing out there random things like, hey, buy this, buy that, let's try this as a group. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about either. Kind of like what Dave Portnoy does. He says stocks only go up. Well, that's a joke. He knows it's a joke. He's basically a satire on himself. He's like Saturday Night Live. You know, he's a funny guy. Well, Keith Gill doesn't seem to be the same type of guy. You know, I'm not sure I don't know him. I'm just reading some of the research that's coming out about him now. But it seems like he's a licensed professional who's going on at night spouting off, talking about, oh, let's try this stock, let's screw Wall Street, whatever it may be. And it turns out that this FINRA regulation may come down and hit him, and not just him, but also his employers, for failing to supervise him properly. Because they have to know what advice is going out there for people that he's telling, what investments to give, what you should do with your money, what stocks are going to go up and down, and what might happen with the market. He's not just the common man. He can't claim ignorance. So there could be some trouble coming down the line for Keith Gill, and he may truly be that dark knight. Not the hero we wanted, but the hero we needed, willing to sacrifice his license and potentially his livelihood for us, the common man, and $20 million. So we'll see what happens with Keith Gill. We may revisit that in the future, but let's talk about Robinhood for a second. What did Robinhood do that was so egregious when the common man and the Redditors were driving up the stock price of GameStop?
All right, let's just kind of back up for a moment. Robinhood is a trading platform, and they book themselves as a free, no-fee online platform. So the point is, they are a conduit to give common guy an opportunity to buy and sell stocks.
Hold on 1 second real quick, because I think that's important, and sometimes stuff just goes over our head because we understand how this works. I don't really, but so when you say it's free, on some sites, you have to pay not just to be a member, but every time you buy and sell, they just charge up fees and rack it up, and that's part of something hedge funds use, and they don't care about the fees because, you know, we're paying the fees that the hedge funds are actually doing. But when we want to do it ourselves as just an individual guy, which you do yourself, I have an account myself as well, it's nice to be able to try this stuff and try to learn what's going on without having to pay all those fees. Robinhood sets that up for people.
Correct.
Okay, so that's why it's important that it's free, because if you're trying to figure out how it works, or you're learning, or you're young, or you don't have a lot of money, and you don't want to pay all these fees, Robinhood allows you to buy and sell stock as just a common man, not a professional with all these licenses that Keith Gill has.
Right.
Okay, sorry for interrupting.
No, no worries. So what happens is Robinhood now, as a platform, has a fiduciary duty to the people that are investing through them. And what happened was, as the Reddit, I call it the Reddit bubble, I'm not even sure how to refer to it, starts going up and up and up, I think, this is Pete's opinion, not grounded in any fact, but what the allegations...
It's not legal or financial advice.
But the allegations in the at least a dozen class action lawsuits is that Robinhood got a phone call from its big partners, Citadel and Melvin Capital. These are both hedge funds. And they said, hey, you got to do something because we're getting murdered here on our positions.
Billion dollar
hedge funds. Right. And now they're in the hole for multiple billions of dollars.
Potentially so far in the hole that some of these multi-billion dollar hedge funds were talking about going bankrupt over their losses. So they were losing multi-billion dollars because some of these guys on Reddit decided to, guys and gals on Reddit decided to just really bubble up.
Because remember, a lot of these guys from Melvin Capital and Citadel, I'm going to use these two specifically, they actually hedged more than the stock that is available to transact.
So, for instance, let's say there's 100 shares. They shorted 150 shares.
Correct.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about how this... And this is where we're going to get into kind of the shady stuff of Wall Street, where it's something you may have thought of because we've always heard that it's the free market. You know, anybody...
Right.
And that's why Robinhood exists. These guys on Wall Street are making so much money. I think I can do better. Let me go open up an account on Wall Street, and I think I can beat, you know, this financial planner or that hedge fund, so I get to make my own bets.
By the way.
But it's not actually free.
Which is totally legitimate. You can do that. Well, what do these guys do? I think what
happened. No, you can't do that. I mean, that's what I think we're finding out, is that you can't actually do that.
They were
supposed to be able to
do
that until the really rich guys come in and say, stop, I don't want you to make that much money because that money's coming out of my pocket. What'd you call it? A zero-sum game?
A zero-sum game.
When these hedge funds are making tons of money, somebody's losing that money, right? The stocks are going up and down.
And especially in when you're trading in shorting positions and options, for everybody, for every dollar that gets made, a dollar has to be lost. It's just the way that the transaction is set up. So Robinhood stopped its own traders from being able to transact business. And the really big part about this is they stopped their ability to buy and sell. I think you can now buy as of today's Monday, February 1st, and they're allowing you to do one purchase and five option trades on these specific stocks, GameStop being one of them. And now there's lawsuits.
So for a poker analogy, right? Anybody out there that's played Texas Hold'em, there's multiple ways you can play Texas Hold'em, right? There's no limit Texas Hold'em where at any time you can push your chips in, but then there's also pot limit Texas Hold'em, and it limits how much you can bet depending on how big the pot is. Well, Wall Street is supposed to be no limit Texas Hold'em. If you have $10,000, you should be able to put $10,000 on Black 21 or whatever it might be, and you get to take that risk. Now, there are some protections put in place where these companies like Robinhood say they want to keep people, protect people from themselves, and they've even used that as one of the reasons why they paused this buying on GameStop and some other stocks. But it's supposed to be no limit Texas Hold'em, and now they're changing the rules and making it pot limit for some people. Because I promise you they're not limiting the transactions that these hedge funds can do on all these sites where they can only buy one share or five options or whatever it might be. That just doesn't happen for the really rich, big-time hedge
funds. The hedge funds aren't using Robinhood to do transactions.
Exactly.
It's really the other way around.
And the people like us, I'll say people like us, but we're going to talk about how when Citadel and Melvin go down, it actually does hurt us. I just spit all over the place. So just stay tuned for how when Citadel and Melvin Capital go down, how we go down with them, and we'll talk about that later. But if this is the kind of content you like, hit the like button real quick and subscribe to our channel, because we're going to be doing more of this. We're going to talk about class action lawsuits and potential criminal penalties. Hit the like button and subscribe. But it does affect us, and the reason this is important in limiting these number of transactions they can do is because we don't have access to the same things that these hedge funds have access. I should say the Reddit guys. They don't have the same access to buy and sell things like hedge funds do. So when you limit it on Robinhood, you're really limiting it for the smaller individual investors. That's the problem.
I don't know if a lot of people realize, let's just use GameStop as a perfect example. If you want to go buy a share of GameStop, you don't actually go to GameStop and say, sell me a share. You, because you're not buying in humongous volume, actually go through a broker dealer. That broker dealer is what Robinhood is acting like. So they're basically allowing you to do the transaction.
They're the middleman.
Right, but where do they make their money? They don't make their money on you because they're not charging you any fees. They make their money from the hedge funds, because what they're doing is when you buy a share of GameStop, they're actually selling you a share that hedge fund owns at a reduced price. So you're buying it today, market value, I'm just making it up, $10. The hedge fund negotiated a purchase of like $8. They make money no matter what. So that's how they want you to do transactions.
And as well as advertising and things like that, like all online sites these days. Okay. So Robinhood stopped it. They're limiting shares. Yep. They're basically, they drove down the price. I mean, they just crushed the price once they stopped allowing buys. You could only sell. And what happens when you can only sell something in the stock market? It has to go down. The price can't rise anymore.
And let's be clear.
And you can see it goes straight down.
You as the consumer can only sell.
Right.
The other side of the coin, though, can buy.
Somebody's buying. If I can sell it, somebody's got to buy it. It's not just like you hit sell and Robinhood buys it. Somebody else is buying it. Okay. So that leads us to the fact that a lot of people lost a lot of money, or I should say lost a lot of potential earnings by not being able to continue to buy. So, of course, lawyers come in to the rescue, right? As we always do. Side note, we just watched the movie Dark Waters last night, which is about the C8 being in all the water and causing cancer and all that stuff. And the only reason that came to fruition was because the lawyer grinded to the bone for like 15 years against these big DuPont companies and was willing to risk everything to go forward. Now, he made a lot of money because they settled for like $700 million at the end of the day.
That's a lot of risk.
But it's a lot of risk and a lot of time. And lawyers come in, don't get paid hourly like that guy didn't. And like these class action lawyers are not getting paid hourly. They're looking for the gold at the end of the rainbow, but they're also protecting the individual investors who didn't have the opportunity to make all this money when they had the right decision to be made to buy this GameStop stock and continue to drive it up. So let's talk about the class action lawsuit.
Okay.
Give me some facts. How many are there? What are they claiming? Who are the defendants? Who are the claimants?
As of this morning, and this is changing, there were at least a dozen that I could find. And the lawsuits basically say the same thing. It is people that are customers of Robinhood that are filing class actions. And I don't know if you want to talk about what a class action is.
You have to have enough people yes. with a common claim that are all going after the same thing, and they're all kind of interchangeable. It can't be, you know, we took a drug, Pete lost his arm, and I, you know, just got a headache or something. It's got to be common, similar things that they can all come together to be in a class and move forward on a class action. Actually, both of those would be ailments, so we could be in the same class. Bad example.
Yeah, the point is the class here is we all are have lost the ability to make our money.
Exactly.
So what happens is what they're doing is they're suing Robinhood for something called a breach of fiduciary duty, meaning that you had an obligation to us, to as your customers, to allow us to transact business on your site. And because you've stopped us, we have lost our earnings ability.
And the fiduciary duty? Did you say fiduciary duty?
Yeah, the fiduciary duty.
So what is a fiduciary duty?
A fiduciary duty is an ethical duty owed by one party to another. For example,
a profession.
Yeah,
right.
A lawyer owes a duty to their client. An accountant owes their duty to the person doing their taxes. Your stockbroker owes a duty to you as your
and it's a higher level. It's a higher level because you're a professional, because they're trusting you and they might not know what the heck they're doing. Right?
So special knowledge.
I give my taxes. I'm not doing my taxes. If my accountant gives me something back that says, oh, you have to pay $50,000 in taxes, then I'm just going to pay $50,000. I'm not going to go through and redo my own taxes. So it's kind of something where they know that you don't have the full understanding. So the person that does it for you has those professional services. They hold a fiduciary.
They have an obligation, a professional obligation to you.
Okay, so what are some of the claims?
The claims really are you stopped us from being able to transact business. You have manipulated the markets, that's how they tie the SEC portion into it. You have breached your fiduciary duty. That's pretty much what they all say. And
okay.
The end game is because of that breach, we are damaged. And what are our damages? Our ability to sell the share of GameStop. I bought it $4 for $1,000, which is where it was.
Or even to continue to buy it.
Or
because
to continue
I think
to buy
the price
it.
Is going to keep going up. So who are the defendants? The claimants are the individual investors that tried to do it.
Right now, the defendants are mostly Robinhood and some other entities that are, let's just say, corporate entities that are somehow joined to Robinhood.
Okay. And how you said there's multiple class actions. Already
at least
started.
A dozen that I can find.
Plenty of lawyers out there. Plenty of lawyers out there. While we don't do them, we know some of the lawyers that do. So if you do think that you could be a part of this class, it's not too late to jump in it. Reach out to us. We'll post our email down there, and we'll hook you up with the best class action lawyers we know that are handling these cases, because unfortunately, we don't do them ourselves.
Can't
we
got
to stick to what we're good at.
Right.
Okay, so class action lawsuits have started. Is there any amount of money they're asking for? Are they giving us an idea of what they think these claims are worth? Or how numerous they think these claims are.
At this point, what they've done is most of the lawsuits have just pled statutory minimums.
Okay.
So just to get into court, they actually haven't said a dollar amount, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's hundreds of millions, if not potentially billions, when you add all the lawsuits together.
And statutory minimums are just, you can't get it into a high enough court, like a circuit court, unless your claim is worth a minimum of $30,000 here. But
and to be clear, I say it's statutory. Technically, it's jurisdictional.
Right, and we might not know what it is in other states. But here, if your claim's worth less than 30, you can't get into certain courts. If it's worth more than 30, then you get in. And we always plead that it's at least that amount of money. You don't have to give an exact dollar amount when you file these lawsuits. I didn't know if they said something in here like hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars, because this is something that's so public and it's going to be in the news. So sometimes they put inflammatory things in the complaint that they won't necessarily ever be able to prove like an exact dollar amount, but just to show how potentially huge this is. Class action lawsuits, hundreds of millions of dollars sounds like a lot of money, but we all know with multi-billion dollar hedge funds, it's a rounding.
Yeah, this is a drop of the bucket.
It's a slap on the wrist for them, which is why guys like Dave Portnoy and other individual investors that have a lot of money and have a big public voice are saying that's not enough. We need prison time. We need people to pay. We need this to change. We need regulation. Is prison time something that's even viable under these set of facts? And if so, how do we get there?
All right. Realizing I don't know all the ins and outs, but let's talk generally. In order to talk prison time, there has to be a crime committed. For a crime to be committed, the SEC is going to have to bring in a criminal investigatory arm, for example, the FBI. There are SEC and statute and securities regulation laws that are criminal. For example,
SEC is the Securities Exchange Commission.
Section 230 of the Securities Exchange Commission speaks generally about manipulating stocks. And if you go to Section 230, you'll kind of see all the stuff for the last 25 years that you're not allowed to do to manipulate people into buying and selling. But those are regulatory offenses. And to make it criminal, you've got to go to 18 U.S.C. either 1346, which is a scheme to defraud, or 18 U.S.C. 1348, which is actual securities and commodities fraud. Here's the tidbit of knowledge. Unlike, I'll just use an example, a DUI, where the penalties are, you know, 6 months or up to a year.
So we're talking about how much prison time they're actually looking at.
To talk about this, in securities violations, you look at something called the sentencing guideline, and it's a book that the federal courts produce that basically say, if you are involved in this particular crime, you have so many points equals so much time in prison. The driving factor for the sentencing guidelines and security offenses is the amount of loss. So think Bernie Madoff. Why is he in prison for the rest of his life? Because he stole billions of dollars from people. So if it goes criminal, the possible penalties are
How is it fraud? How would it be considered fraud?
It's a knowing and intentional
misrepresentation
of a material fact to induce someone to act in a method that they would normally not act in if they had all the information.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be able
but
to
it has
get
to be
fraud.
Knowing and intentional. That's the difference.
Yeah, but I mean, so I guess not letting them continue to buy and make the profit, but I don't know how that's fraud.
I don't think Robin Hood's conduct is criminal.
Okay.
What I don't know is what's going on behind closed
that's
doors.
That's true, yeah.
And if behind closed doors...
there are threats
doors,
being made
right.
and saying, we're going to pull out, you're not going to be able to sell anything from ours if we're Melvin Capital right. or whatever. Something a lot of people don't know is stuff like this has happened in the past. There has been limited times where they've protected the hedge funds against the little guy, whatever it may be. This has happened before. It's not the first time. But it does happen to be, in my opinion, the loudest time that I've ever known because we have these voices and social media and influencers getting involved saying we want prison time, saying stuff's happening that's totally unfair, that's illegal, whatever it may be. So it does seem like the loudest, even though it's not the first. Do you think, and let's talk for a second, right? So all these people that are following this, that are following influencers, that are seeing what's happening, this actually affects us, right? Maybe not how people think. Because you may think, oh, I'm with the little guy, I'm the little investor, and they need to let me do this stuff. But this entire situation and how hedge funds are run and how they make these bets and try to control Wall Street, it still affects us. You know, people like us that may not be day traders but have money in the stock market or our 401k. How does it affect us?
Let's talk specifically about that 401k. Most of us that have stocks in our retirement plan, either a 401k or if you're a nonprofit, there's a different section, but you buy stock, you don't buy 10 shares of Apple, 5 shares
and
of
and we don't buy anything. Somebody else buys it for us.
In fact,
right.
What happens is you buy into a fund and that fund is managed by a person or normally a team of people. And what they say is this fund invests in technologies, in oil, in, I don't know, all kinds of things. And they normally have a manager that oversees every little portion of the investments the whole fund has. And normally a good good investment fund is going to have a broad spectrum portfolio. Now here's the problem. As part of that portfolio, most investment funds actually invest in hedge funds because they're always hedging their downside.
And they're always making money. I mean, they're always making money. That's the point. You don't become multi-billion dollars if you're not making money. So we're all trying to get a little piece of that. So when our 401k gets invested, we went and looked at ours. What did we find?
We found that, I'll share with my portfolio, I have lost almost 5% in the last maybe week and a half. And I went back and looked at, okay, I'm invested in this portfolio. Let me go look inside of all the investments that are actually held, every position, from Apple to, you know,
Tesla,
models, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, my friends, there's a good chance that the names Melvin Capital, Citadel Holdings, which are hedge funds, are going to be part of your overall portfolio.
And I mean, guess what happened to those stocks?
They plummeted.
Yeah.
And they didn't plummet like 2%.
No.
They plummeted 100%. They're at negative values, some of these.
So when hedge funds bet wrong, they're not the only ones that lose money because they're also spending our money.
Correct.
So when they come in and stop it, sometimes it stops our losses.
Yes.
So this is a weird way to look at it. It's totally unfair. They shouldn't do this to the little guy. They shouldn't protect these multi-billion dollar hedge funds. But go out there and look at your 401k and see if you're invested in some of these hedge funds that are in the news. It may make you want to follow this story a little bit closer.
Because understand how securities firms make money. They don't make money by investing their money. They make money by taking a piece of the action of other people's money. And that's a quote from an old movie. And I'll have to figure out the name of the movie in a moment. But there was an old movie back in the 1980s. It was OPM, other people's money. That's how you make money.
Yeah, and there's always a trickle-down effect when things are happening in Wall Street or in Washington. It always trickles down. Okay, so to finish up here, what do you think is actually going to happen? How are we going to change this process? How are we going to make it more fair? What do you think is going to happen? Because $100 million in a class action lawsuit is not going to do anything to these hedge funds. And we don't think there's going to be criminal penalties in prison time. If more facts come out, we'll do more videos. But what do we think is actually going to happen?
I think that the chances of criminal charges coming out are pretty slim. Rarely do criminal charges come through in securities transactions. But what I think is going to happen is there are going to be some administrative penalties. I think Mr. Gill is going to have some explaining to do to the SEC or to FINRA. He may very well have sanctions on his license. There are, in fact, civil actions, meaning non-criminal, but lawsuits that the SEC can file against some of these broker-dealers. I think you're going to see some of that. And I think you very well may see, because for the first time in a long time, Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, and Ted Cruz are sitting in Congress yelling the same message. This can't be right.
Not together, because
no, they're not friendly about it
or whatever. But the point is, Republicans and Democrats are coming together, as I said before, and GameStop is bringing the world together. So let's see. Yeah, usually, as we've seen, the red and blue don't necessarily mesh well together, but this is a topic that nobody likes. Nobody likes for somebody to be able to manipulate our free market.
Yeah, you're going to see regulation changes. Now, I'll tell you the other thing. For the class action lawsuits, I can't speak how viable they're going to be, and I'll tell you why.
They're going to pay money.
They're going to pay money, but they're never going to get in front of a jury. They're never going to get punitive damages because there is, in your initial agreement when you go sign up for Robinhood and every investment report, there's a page load of terms and conditions that you just clicked OK and never even read. And inside those terms and conditions for Robinhood specifically are a series of rules that they can buy,
limit,
sell, limit, change, cancel, undo any transaction that gets
because
done.
Because once again, just like we talked about in censoring in big tech, these are private companies. This is not a governmental agency. Right. They're allowed to have terms and conditions for their private companies, and they're allowed to do some things that we may not think is fair, but we all probably agreed to when we checked the box or whatever that says I agree.
And they also agree, you have to agree to an arbitration clause, meaning you can't bring a class action lawsuit. The first thing that the lawyers for Robinhood are going to do is they're going to file a motion to dismiss these lawsuits. Now, did a little bit of research because that's what I do. There is a case, Chime Bank. And this is a case that was, relatively recently. It's precedent, in my opinion. And what it stands for is, yes, you may have signed the non-compete disclosure. Yes, you may have signed the arbitration clause. Yes, you may have signed the restrictions on trading. But if the attorneys for the class, for the investors, can prove that Robinhood acted in contrary to the terms of the agreement or outside and beyond the terms of the agreement, the courts can invalidate that. And I'll tell you, as of Saturday afternoon, I was going to come up here and say, ain't no way this is happening. But as of today, when Robinhood extended the trading restrictions, now it's obvious. It's obvious who they're protecting. They're only allowing you to buy one share or five options this morning.
It is scary to think that, we obviously realize money makes this world go round as far as the U.S. and money controls and follow the rich white man, as Chris Tucker said. In Rush Hour, but if you think about it, it's scary to think that these hedge funds can then control what individual investors can buy, therefore eliminating the opportunity for individual investors to even do this stuff. Hedge fund managers and Wall Street guys and financial planners and investors, they're supposed to be better than the rest of us at this, but it's not supposed to be exclusive. They're not surgeons where I'm not going to do surgery on you, but I should be able to figure out and do what I want to do with my own money, right? And that's what they're taking it out of our hands to where we can't even invest our own money when they do stuff like this and they control our avenue and our way to invest our own money like Robinhood and some of these sites. If they just start controlling those, which they already obviously were, it just wasn't as apparent to us. And now we're seeing that they control all these sites and they control what we do with our money, whether we hire them as our investor or not.
To me, this is very reminiscent of like a couple of things. for me, it's 1930 stock market panic when people would, brokerage houses would come together and basically violate the antitrust laws and say, we're going to double down on corn commodities. And all of a sudden, corn commodities are going through the roof. And then when it got to that price, they would just dump it because at the end of the day, there was no value in this. It was all empty money. And that's how they crashed the stock market back in the 1930s. Let me give you something a little bit more your generation. This is very Wolf of Wall Street stuff.
Yeah.
It's not illegal. I mean, these are all penny stocks that they were trading, but they're telling grandma, invest your penny stocks and we're going to do great because they were making 10 and 15% commissions on those penny stocks as opposed to 2% on blue chips, which are like common everyday
stocks. It's basically exactly the opposite of doing your fiduciary duty.
It is the opposite.
It's like the opposite. It's like, oh, trust me so I can screw you, as opposed to fiduciary duty is trust me so I can help you because you don't know how to do this on your own.
Because I think where this came from is somebody got smart, and that somebody, because of social media, gained a big enough following that they alone could manipulate the market. And all of a sudden,
they become a hedge fund.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what they did in the playing field more than anything else.
So what happens to Robin is like, oh my God, this wasn't supposed to happen. You weren't supposed to have this much power.
And Citadel probably calls Robin and says, you promised us this wouldn't happen.
That's right. Yeah. We're getting killed over here. What are you doing?
It's
crazy. And then the next question is, what are you going to do about it? And that's when it becomes criminal.
Yeah, so we are going to keep following this. We'll keep bringing you up to date as new things come down, especially if criminal penalties start getting, or if even a criminal investigation happens, if the class action lawsuit goes anywhere, we'll keep running with it as long as it's in the news, as long as we can get information on it. But as for now, thanks for listening. We'll be back next time.
You've been listening to Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Trakos. The experienced lawyers at Trakos, Sartes & Trakos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field. Find out more at TrakosLaw.com.